Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting email
from somebody who had said, you know, when you have that intro, when you have the intro, can you help me understand what it means to want something that you want and can't have, but once you get it, you don't want it anymore? Well, if you think about all addictions, you're always chasing that first high. And second high, the third high, the fourth high is not the same as the first high. And it's the same thing with sex addiction. When men experience something, whether that's their personal experience with pornography, that first time, or their first affair partner, or their first meeting with across a web chat. You know, the truth is that second hit will never be the same. Hi, I'm Carol Jurgensen-Chief, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, and I am welcoming you to our 936th show. Pretty amazing, huh? And we've been educating men and women about sex addiction. There are female sex addicts, as there are men. And then we sure do educate a lot of partners who want to understand their spouse. And that's one of the reasons I wrote Help or Heal. And more importantly, one of the reasons that I trained people to use Help or Heal and to go through the 12 chapters and to do it individually or in groups. And today I am interviewing Chase Dale. He is a master certified professional coach, which, Chase, I don't think I have ever interviewed an MCC. I mean, ACC and PCC. Can you tell me about that designation?
There's the MCC, and this is MC Partners Coach. It's a little different. There's a 101, 201. So it sounds very similar, but it's not exactly the same route as the MCC.
Got it.
The full MCC.
Well, I rarely know of MCCs because they have so many hours invested. Now, I've been doing this since 2007, and when I had to re-up my professional profile, they called me at ICF and said, get your MCC. And I said, that's too much hassle. I'm too old. I'm not doing it. But welcome to the show, because you have always stood out as a partner-sensitive coach for sex addicts who wanted to teach empathy skills. And so I remember that both you and your wife talked to me about taking the training. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about Help Her Heal groups.
Yeah, thank you, first, Ms. Kirk, for having me on here. I really have enjoyed the book, learning through that, and your training. My wife and I, with our story, I was unfaithful. And so this started for us right about 9 years ago. And one of the first things I was introduced to was going to a counselor, but I also started going to a group myself. And going through this whole journey, coming back to restoring my marriage, my wife became passionate about this, and she went back to school. And she became a licensed professional counselor herself, specializing with betrayal trauma, different traumas, but with couples as well. And I went back to school and finished my engineering degree. And then I realized that I love this and I still want to be a part of this. And so as she opened her practice about 2 years ago in July, I also joined her as a coach to certifications and also started hosting groups and working with her with couples. So sometimes we have us as a couple staying with other couples and working through them in sessions as well.
And so it was helping men to heal that was one of your passions. And you liked engineering, but it hit a different area of the brain, didn't it?
Yes, ma'am. So going through groups, I helped to co-lead and also got to start leading through the years. I loved seeing men begin to show up for their wives, but also to start gaining sobriety. I loved to see men growing who they were really supposed to be, how this has robbed them. Because
mm-hmm.
I was robbed. And there's more in their marriage and their life and what to know about their partner than they kept pushed down and shut down because of their addiction. And so this, you know, a job is one thing. I enjoy the engineering, of course. But this is totally different. This is about legacy. This is about men and their wives and their children's children. This right here, to me, is so much more impactful generationally than what I was probably doing as a day job.
You know, I so agree with you. As a matter of fact, when I took my training way back in 2007, Patrick Carnes, the guru and father of sex addiction, I mean, he helped write the Green Book, SAA, and he trained all of us CSATs, certified sex addiction therapist, he said, well, actually, he had been with probably one of the most famous coaches for over a year. And he was so excited about how that coach coached them, all these professionals, to leave legacies, which, of course, he had already left. He created a module specifically for us as trainees, teach men specifically, 2007, right? Men how to leave legacies. You know, once they're in that 12th step and they're giving back, how do they leave legacies, as you said, not only to make a difference, but to break that intergenerational behavioral pattern of addiction, infidelity. And so for you to have said that, you're spot on. Now, you referenced something with me earlier when we were bonding about the resilient mind addiction. Tell me about that resilient mind.
Yeah, so this practice, me and my wife had opened, resilient mind counseling and coaching. We're down here in Southeast Texas, outside of Houston, about 45 minutes. And finally, me and her, we have another female coach that's recently partnered with us. Yeah, the primary focus is we have our groups, both for the partners, female partners, and the male betrayers. And yes, there is sometimes that it is the other way. The women are sex addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had those couples. But the big thing that we do is we're big about formal disclosures. And we host many of those. We just had two this week, matter of fact. And we put them through the groups. And I also will do one-on-one coaching. My wife will do one-on-one therapy. She likes to use models such as EMDR, bilateral behavioral therapy, DBTs. She does all those formalities with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see the couples together. And we're really focused on the couple-centered recovery, which has taken through starting in discovery, first half of the shock and awe, going through disclosures, going into the grief side and remembrance, and then following up and going into the restoration and growth, both individually and together as the couple.
Right.
So that's what we're passionate about. That's what we do as a team together. This is primarily, again, her practice, and I partner with her and work with these men. I have a group that just started again. I usually keep them rolling throughout the year. Sometimes it's more focused on guys early on, and maybe guys who are a little bit further along who have more of the grind of, okay, now that we've gotten through the early work of discovery, I've gained my sobriety, and now how am I really growing more into missing my wife? What is our pursued dreams together as couples? So guys can kind of be in some different phases, but we still walk them through that wherever they're at.
And let me ask you, because I know that your group, I know you do a variety of groups, and you mentioned earlier that three-phase or stage partner betrayal trauma model, which APSAT started, and it is safety and stabilization, grief, mourning, and loss, and then that third phase, restoration. And that restoration can be of self or of the relationship or of faith in God again. Because obviously when this happens to a partner, they begin to question their whole world and why would God have allowed this to happen to them? That being said, do you take your guys through all 12 chapters of Help or Heal?
Yes, ma'am, we do. And before I answer that, I do want to go back and say we are not a faith-based practice, but we are faithful believers. Like our Christians, we are believers in Christ, but we our practice is open to anyone. We have folks that come in that are not believers. My wife has actually even worked with bisexual couples and such as that, or homosexual couples. So I put that out there just to say, hey, we do believe, and if that is their walk, bring God into that as well, to the groups and the recovery. But yes, we do cover the entire book. We go through all 12 of the chapters. Actually, we'll break it out into like a 13, 14 week where we have a first week introduction. And each week we're hitting each chapter. Sometimes I've even spread out a little bit further where we may actually do a chapter every other week. And the weeks that are in between is more of kind of a check-in and open dialogue, because sometimes there's so much pressure going on with these guys. They're like a steam pot. They're trying to carry their own recovery and walk in freedom from this addiction or sexually acting out or these affairs. And they're trying to carry their partner who's broken and in pain. And so for God, that is a lot to carry. And so sometimes I have spread out a little bit to give that time in between that they can dump that they can check in, that they can wrestle and process the emotions and what's going on and kind of be encouraged by the other guys in the group as well.
Well, that
so
makes
kind of in that both ways.
Makes a lot of sense. And so I want to pick your brain for a minute. Obviously, I wrote the book with the help of Alan J. Katz, and he actually did the intimacy chapter. You know, that first chapter is understanding a traumatized brain. And it's understanding that she's in trauma and looking at her and having empathy for her traumatized state. Did you experience that same thing? When discovery occurred with you and your wife, were you able to readily see her traumatized brain, or did you think she was just acting crazy?
Yeah, at first it was, I thought she just wanted to kill me. I mean, she was just, the anger, the rage, and then you didn't really recognize it at first because you weren't aware. You weren't educated, especially the guy, and you're already dealing with shame, so you're not really recognizing what's going on with her, but it was definitely there. The ping-ponging of emotions. She may not ever get out of bed for a day or two. And then the next day she's screaming at you. And it's because the trauma that all the brain is highlighting, and it's ping-ponging all throughout her mind. She's trying to put together the history. She's trying to figure out why this happened. She's thinking about herself. She's thinking about me. Where am I at? What am I doing? And she's just all over the place. And in the beginning, it was really hard to recognize that this was betrayal trauma. It came further as we got the education for it from our couples counselor.
Oh, good. It sounds like you had a good couples counselor that knew that was betrayal trauma.
Somebody a little well somewhat well known, Dr. Jake Porter.
Okay, yeah, that would do it. Dr. Jake is
of course he was Jake Porter. He was our LPC. And then now he's doctor.
Yes, he is. He is and was my facilitator for the Early Recovery Couples Empathy Model, which is of course IRCM. So he's gotten a little bit too busy to help out with that anymore. Understandably, he has a fine-tuned program on all levels, for partners, for addicts, for the coupleship. He just does amazing work. So now let me ask you something else. Focuses on partner betrayal and what that looks like. And I just begin to ask the guys to identify why is she wounded? How did he wound her? And what is he willing to do to make the commitment to help her get out of that? Because truly, Chase, I believe that if he helps her get out of it, it improves his self-esteem and his sense of integrity. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. In the beginning, we talked about how you were the safe person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the very source and cause of her pain. And so she wants to come to you to feel, to be safe and to be connected with you, but she can't because as she gets close to you, it becomes more and more painful. And so we talk about building truths. Are you really willing to do this? Because this is going to be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What has been created and what's happened, her betrayal, her whole reality has been uprooted. Her whole reality has been shaken. This is not going to be a quick fix. So one thing is, are you willing to be really open, honest, and truthful? And are you willing to take this long, hard road? Because it's not easy.
No,
and it's not, like I said, a short, quick fix. And men want to fix. They want to fix it, and they want to fix immediately, and this is not how this works.
Yeah, I had a certification with John Gray, who did Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. That's the number one thing he tells women. Men want to fix. They're not able to just be there and listen and support you. They want to fix it. And, of course, part of Help Her Heal, as well as my book, Help Them Heal, is about reflective listening so that the partner knows she was heard. But I digress. Okay, so that second chapter is about feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you being so honest and courageous to talk about the fact that you were the betrayer, do you think you had a good understanding of feelings prior to the addiction? No. That's what I thought. I don't either. For most cases.
No.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
I was shut down. Feelings, if she cried in front of me, I would go into basically dissonance. I would shut down. I would withdraw. I couldn't handle it. I was not taught how to walk in emotions. I came from a home that was with an addict, and I had an angry and somewhat of, and many times abusive stepdad. So emotions was foreign to me. I really sitting to deal with them. I could be charismatic. I could be happy-go-lucky. I could do what I needed to do to be persuasive or to be friendly. But really deep connected emotions, no. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Stiff arm, I would push away. I would get angry, I would irate, I would shut down. I couldn't work through my own and hers.
Mm-hmm. And so my belief is that men really need to understand and know their own emotions before they can hold the emotions of their partner, especially when they're in partner betrayal. So that's why we talk about feelings as the second chapter of the book.
Absolutely. I can't agree anymore. If you can't identify your own emotions,
mm-hmm.
and know how to feel them,
mm-hmm.
and process them, there's no way you can carry and help her with the hearse.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Mm-hmm. I think guys are, especially with addiction, because you talked about it earlier, the high, the hit,
mm-hmm.
is intensity. Intensity over intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And intimacy is different in that it's a more of a connection. But intensity is just the high, the hit, quick draw. And it really stunts emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these guys start to thaw out as they're trying to walk in sobriety. The emotions do start to come up more, but to practice them, what are you feeling? What are you feeling about it? What emotions are going on in you? And so this can't agree with you more. It's so important to identify that first with you and practicing that before you can really begin to lean into her.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, it's another thing we do. We used to have a feelings wheel, which was on a laminated sheet of paper. My wife humorously put it on a, printed on a pillow.
Uh-huh.
And I throw a pillow, I can throw it to the guys and tell them, you got to hug your feelings today. And at first they hated it, but now they really will. They'll grab it off the table and they'll go through it and they'll look at it and they'll go, okay. Because their check-in will be, hey, this is what I'm feeling today. This is what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to keep it simple because men's brains have been traumatized by the trauma that they've caused their lives. And also, I think that feeling wheel is incredible. But for a partner who has executive functioning issues because she's in trauma, feelings can be difficult for her too. So do you remember the five feelings?
Yes. So you put in there it was loneliness,
mm-hmm.
happiness, it was sadness, fear, and anger, correct?
Correct. And so, you know, everything else falls under that. And I really believe it helps simplify things as a man is just learning his feelings. You know, you said your wife put it on a pillow. And actually, to our listening audience, you can get a feelings wheel pillow online. But that just made me think, I need to put my five feelings on a pillow. So I'm going to see if I can create that for me. Now, that third chapter is about her needs, you know, and what does she need? And we kind of boil it down. In Help Them Heal, I talk about, which is not help her heal. Help Them Heal is for the coupleship, but Help Her Heal is for the addict to help his partner heal. I talk about emotional, spiritual, intellectual, social, physical, and then purposeful when they get into a better place in their brain. But in Help Her Heal, I keep it simple. I say, you know, what are her needs for safety? What are her needs for the relationship? And especially in terms of knowing your recovery, because she doesn't know what you're learning and she doesn't know if you're committed to learning. And then that need for communication. She needs addicts to be sure, she needs to know what you're doing so that she can feel safe, but she really wants to know what's in your heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about chapter 3?
Excellent. It's on the number one, which is safety. She needs to feel safe. And then she needs to know, okay, where are we at with our relationship? Because like you said, the reality's been shaken. She doesn't know what she has now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, letting you into her world or into your world.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole side of her seeing your recovery and your process and what you're learning and what you're going through in the groups or your counseling sessions and things like that. Yeah, absolutely. She wants to know, she will circle around you like on a boat with an oar poking at you because mm-hmm. she's just wanting to know what is going on inside you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm making up my own story. I can't interpret what's going on inside you. So that's another challenge as these guys are walking through this is to be able to open up to her and to share more than just, well, I had a tough day at work and yeah, group was good. But they're wanting to know and hear more of that. And the safety part, that can be defined in many ways. I like how you leave it open at the end and you say, my wife needs blank. Because sometimes the safety or what exact definition of that somebody needs for, and you can write out and put in what more specific it should mean.
Mm-hmm.
What does it show up and give support to her?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you brought up such an important point because what I train and teach and believe with all my heart is that not only is this a daunting task to get sober and clean and abstain from sexual stimulation that is all around us every minute of the day, but we expect him to also really work on those relational skills that will help them heal. And he may never, ever, ever have learned relational skills. And so he is going through withdrawals and learning what he needs to do to stay clean and healthy, and then working on his relationship. And that's kind of like a newbie or an infant. And I feel like this book breaks it down and kind of helps with some of those areas that when the book was written, we didn't talk much about it. But I think the book has generated people who want to develop more about couples' relational skills. What do you think about the trigger chapter, which is typically something that when men saw a woman triggered, they ran out of the house. They thought, well, I'm the trigger. I got to get out of here so she'll get safe.
Yes. Yeah, I like the pictures. I like to draw sometimes if I'm trying to teach the guy to show them. And so showing kind of this cycle that you put in there very well about starting off with the trigger and seeing this with your partner, and then the alarm bomb going off. There's some kind of flooding. There's all these emotions that are rising up.
Okay.
Flying gauge. And the partner feels the overwhelmness in reaction, defense, or shuts down. And then there's the escalation. So this whole
cycle, whole
evolution here, imagine that. I think the big takeaway, and that you put it here very well, is that you have to be there. Got to be there to be present.
Lean into it.
Yes, I thought it was a hug and a cactus.
Oh, that's
uncomfortable to grab and squeeze the partner that you've inflicted a stain on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't know always what to say, but your presence and to hang in there with her is so important. So first, of course, recognizing it as you lay out, noticing the trigger, noticing how she's going to go into these responses. Allow you to at least be somewhat prepared to say, okay, I'm going to sit in this with her. I'm going to volunteer to be here. Give thoughts and feelings sometimes. Sit here and with it. To embrace the suck that's going on right now. It's not fun, but I want to be here. And that brings such comfort to them in that moment, understanding that the triggers are not for you to rip cord and run, but to stay in it.
Yes, stay in the game. And I love that metaphor of poking the cactus. Yeah, absolutely. You speak in a lot of metaphors. And in my IRCM training, I teach couples to draw metaphors of what is happening to her, what is happening to him. And that affects a different part of the brain, and it has more meaning sometimes than just reading or hearing. So we really want, whenever possible, in working with people, to do a little bit of everything so that it sticks and they get those nuggets of information that will make them a different person, whether it's a partner or the addict. So definitely that trigger chapter takes them through how they can lean in and sit with their partner and what they can say and really just acknowledge, I can see that you're triggered. Are you triggered? It looks like a really bad trigger. And of course, that's the pre-focus to then empathy, chapter 5. And I believe reflective listening is the number one skill for empathy, because we've all been taught, when you're saying something to me, I'm going to get ready to say something back. And if we're in a good, fun conversation, we don't think anything of it. But when you're dealing with conflict, the last thing she wants to hear is he expresses her feelings and then he defends himself, or he minimizes, or he gets angry. So how do the guys do with ABR and the other empathy skills in Chapter 5?
Of course, probably one of my favorite chapters, because we do a lot of practice on reflective listening.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. We already have a response. Many times we're already building in our minds what we want to say. And I think this really slows the game down. Because now the focus is off what you're dealing with, what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and you're just being present at the moment, listening in such an intentional way that you can repeat back exactly what she said. And that, for especially the guys, is that we don't listen to anyone's system. We have selective hearing, but to be able to stop and slow down, and we do this, including ABR. So ABR, of course, knowledge, validate, and reassure. You're stopping the game, you're slowing the game down, and you're saying, okay, you're saying out loud, like, okay, I acknowledge that you are wringing your hands, that your eyebrows furrowed, you look really upset. I acknowledge this. You're going out. I want to validate that, yeah, your pain that you're feeling right now and you're hurt. Absolutely. I hurt you. Feel the pain. Yes. And reassuring her. But I'm present today. I'm continuing my work on recovery. I just met with my counselor. And I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ADR, acknowledging God and reassuring. It can be, both that and reflective listening, can be that early on these guys were robotic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a complaint of the partners at the times.
Mm-hmm.
It's understandable because men, again, we are a little bit slow emotion. Slow emotion takes a while to process. And they're usually much faster, the partner is. And so for a guy to go through it, it seems robotic at times, especially at first.
Mm-hmm.
And the partner's just getting a little upset about that. But as the guy practices, especially if you practice in a group, because you're really doing the group together, when they come into a couple sessions, we have them do that to each other. We have them face each other. Practice the ADR, practice reflective listening. As they do it more and more, it becomes much less robotic and more natural. And it flows in a different way where it's not like, okay, I'm thinking this step. It just kind of moves more organic. So it's the challenge of, okay, how do we not make it robotic beginning or keep it robotic, how do we make it more natural? I think it just really comes with practice. But they're excellent, very important tools to reflect the listening and the ADR.
Yeah, I am talking to Chase Stale, who's a master certified professional coach. He and his wife are APSATS trained. They run Resilient Mind Addiction and Couples Counseling just out of Houston, Texas. And Chase runs Help or Heal groups. And he's found them to be very informative and healing for the addict as well as the partner. So today I'm picking his brain and finding out what he likes about Help or Heal. And we're going to end with the shame resiliency chapter because truly empathy is so important. And, you know, the next chapter is on communication and assertiveness. So when you get to the next chapter on the seven principles of conflict, really about shame resiliency. And so I teach the guys to pick their favorite principle, what gets them the most. And if you would, Chase, would you identify which principle you like the most when it comes to giving yourself hope, acknowledging your strength, and the progress you've made despite the pain?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I have to look at it again.
Okay, well, let me just tell you, I'm going to write down an answer because my guys pick two in particular. So I'm going to write this down and I'm going to see if one of them is yours. Do you have them right there now?
Yep.
All righty. So I am going to write my two answers that, hands down, most men like the best. And then you may have a different one.
Yes.
So which one speaks to your heart?
I would say, there's just a couple of good ones here. I would say number one is very important. When you experience conflict, ask yourself, how has my past contributed to the present day conflict? Working out the other 90% is about your past and not who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, and this is kind of how I put it to myself, it's what I share with the guys, is that you have to realize today, if you're showing up, you're doing the work, you're walking into sobriety, and you have said, I'm dead to that guy. That dead man, that's who she's still angry at. That's who she's still upset with. He's over here. So when she's coming at you, remember that all that you've done, what you did, that is a dead man. You're putting him to death. And that, I know for me, has helped me to show up. Yes, there is still that 5-10% of my own shame and the things I'm still learning today and what I'm trying to do. But I can kind of separate that and say, look, that's him. But I'll still tell her today, man, I was that guy. I was such a jerk. And I know I said those things next to you, and she may remember things that I don't even remember, but I still say, yeah, that was him, absolutely. And it allows me and the guys to kind of show up to right now, stand there. So that one, and that one kind of goes in hand with that. Practicing saying, this is not who I am today, it's number six. This is about the consequences of my past actions. Know that your addiction is your kryptonite, your recovery is your antidote. That kind of falls along with that to me. That's remembering that's not who I am today.
And I agree with you. We work with partners to get them to learn how to stay in the moment and not be tethered to the past or tethered to the future. Just stay in the moment and see what's happening. So, okay, you picked one of them, and I don't know if you can see, I put 3 and 6. So you picked 6. Would you read 3 for us? Because it's also a favorite from my helper heal groups.
Yeah, I even wrote beside it, present. So some things are ownership, present, connection, the self. That was one I made with present, and it says, know that although your pain is a direct response to your past action, it is not a response to your today.
Mm-hmm.
I think you already said it. Allow you to be in the moment in your present.
Yeah, and that's what addicts have to do when they're in good recovery, to stay in good recovery, because, you know, when they're doing ADR and they're reassuring and they're saying, I am leaning into you now and I am going to my meetings and I've got a great sponsor and I am working on being the best man I can be, then they get a punchback that looks like, we should have done that all along. Or, oh, what do you want me to do? Be your cheerleader for what you should have always done? But the truth is, they come into my office and they say, well, this is what I said to him, but I really can tell that he's changing. And I'm not sure it's going to last. That's my fear. But I really love the fact that he's working on this stuff now. And sometimes they're afraid to tell the recovering addict because they don't want the addict to get lazy. You know, it's just, again, their fear.
That's right.
Yes,
you know it on the head. You do that all the time. Because she's going to test this. She's going to be, I don't believe this. And she will push back.
Mm-hmm.
God, don't tell me that. Man, I did it. And she's so smart. I said, did you lean back in again? And she said, still? This doesn't change the first, second, third time you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. Whenever the partner's in a safe place and they can come in and see us together,
mm-hmm.
that is the things they will say is that I am seeing a change. I am noticing it. But there's still something for her going to.
Right.
Yeah. No one can blame them for that. They don't know if they're still being lied to deceive. So I had a mentor tell me before, consistency over time. Consistency over time.
Mm-hmm.
That is how your partner's going to come down from this power tower she's in, her sitting above, protecting herself. If you want her to come down, you want her to feel safe, you want to be reconnected, you have to be consistent over time. And again, showing up to group, hearing these guys, urging one another, they may share stories where it's worth, they may share stories where some guys are further along, and they push through, and they can attest upon that. Yes, if you stay in, if you stick to it, remain consistent, you're going to make it. You have a shot to make this.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that she's going to stay, but what we do know about partners and sex addiction, compulsive sexual behavior, is that they have more of a tendency to stay because on some level they understand that this man that they didn't know any longer had an addiction.
Yeah.
And they want to know that he can heal from that addiction and be the man they've always wanted him to be. So, Chase, how can people join your group and how can they get a hold of you and your wife?
So they can go to our website, and we are it's Resilient. You can go to Resilient Monitor, our website, and you can find me there and my wife. You can book online there as well. You can also reach out to my email, chase@resilientmonitor.com. So there's a couple ways that you can reach out, find us. Again, we're in Southeast Texas. I like to do in-person groups if you're close to the area. But I also am opening virtual groups. So I want to walk through the 13, 14 week with an online version. Because I do meet one-on-one. I have a couple of guys interested that I do telehealth with. And I would love to now open that up and have it virtually this group.
You know, that's the only group I run now, our telehealth. And, yeah, face-to-face is always preferred because you can really see the emotion. You can feel it in the room. But you get a lot done. You work with people all over the world, and we know that as coaches we can do that. Thank you so much for spreading the word, you know. When I do my trainings for professionals, I actually give them my PowerPoint, I give them my handouts, and people go, why would you give your material away like that? And I say, so that it can live on with people younger than me who have that passion to help couples heal, help men heal, help partners heal. And boy, just in spending time with you today, you have reminded me what a special person you are. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this time and this work.
All right, over and out. You can let yourself out of the room, and I'll put this on YouTube so people not only can hear it, but they can see you.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. Thank you very much.
Give your wife my best.
I will. She's going to be itching to know how this goes and hear about it. So.
I'll send her a link. I'm going to do some editing just at the very beginning.
Yeah, that sounds great, and we will definitely be putting it on our webpage too.
All right, you take care. All right. So you can see this guy has worked really hard at helping couples heal. And he does that by helping the men develop the skills to get better. I'm Carol Jorgensen Sheets, and you know what I always say. There will always only be one of you at all times. So please, courage, just fearlessly be yourself. We'll see you next week. More sex health with Carol the Coach.
Recording stopped.